This is class number 3 at the Baptist Bible Seminary, first year Greek class, sponsored by the Bible for Today. The date is September 27, 1984, lessons 4 through 5 and a half, pages 25 to 30, paragraphs 13 through 28 in Davis's Beginner's Greek Grammar. The teacher, Dr. D.A. Waite, director, Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey.
Well, let's begin with the word prayer, shall we, as we open our class tonight. Dear Lord, we thank thee again for this opportunity of teaching this language and studying this language. We thank thee for thy word, which thou hast preserved for us in the Greek New Testament. And we thank thee for these men who have taken their time and their funds and their efforts and their desire to study this book of thine. And we ask for help and blessing now as we take this lesson tonight. Be with each one of them, bring to mind that which they have studied, and help me as I teach it, Lord. We thank thee for the Savior of whom thy word points, and to whom it points, and of whom it speaks. And ask his blessing upon all of our families as well as ourselves and our ministries, both now and in time to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll review then what we have for tonight before we take our quiz. So we have that before us. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we have, beginning with the present indicative active, paragraph 13. Is that our first one? On page 25, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's review that one then to start with. Present indicative active of lego, namely, let's go down through it. Lego means what? What does that mean now?
I am saying.
Stress the I am saying part because it's a progressive type present. All right, the second person is leges.
Leges.
All right, thou art saying, you are saying singular, you say, all right, and then lege means what?
He, she, or it is saying.
All right, then the first plural is legomen, and that means
we are saying,
or we say, and then second plural, legete, which means
you
plural are saying, or ye are saying, or say, and then third plural,
legacy,
accent of the same, first syllable, they are saying, or they say, all right, infinitive.
Legging,
which means
to say
or to be saying. Okay, to be saying. Continuous action, progressive. All right, let's run through those quickly. Then just the Greek: lego, lege, lege, legomen, legete, legacy, and infinitive legging. Once again: lego, lege, lege, legomen, legete, legacy, legging. Legging is infinitive. Okay. Backwards, infinitive first. This curiosity. Lege, and then third plural.
Legacy.
Legate.
Legomen.
First, third singular.
Lege.
Legace. Lego. I just to see, give it a little bit of a different picture there. All right. We don't often do that.
We won't do that.
Let's see, the next thing we had was a vocabulary. Is that correct? Of course, we had exercises and vocabulary, and then, of course, logos we had. All right, let's take a look at that vocabulary. What if you were asked for the bread? What would you say? The bread is what?
Ho-artos.
Okay, the bread. And the throne?
Ho-thromos.
Ho-thromos. Or coffee or whatever your word is for. Ho-thromos. Throne is in English. That's easy to remember, isn't it? The world, what would you say? The world.
Cosmos.
Okay. Cosmetics, that which is completely organized and in order. It doesn't always seem that way. Stone is what? The stone. Lithos. Lithography is something. It's printing. It's printed in stone. Lithos. The stones cry out. A monolith, one firm hand. Stone grasp upon the situation. A monolithic organization. The word is what?
Logos.
And all these are masculine, therefore they all have that ha before of it. The law is what?
Nomos.
All right, and we've said metronome and various other things. Crowd, the crowd is what? Ha-akos. I'm trying to think of.
Do we have to give the ha?
No, you don't have to give it. Just it is all ha. Because all singular. It's good to know that, so you know that's a masculine. That's all. Not a feminine or neuter. The place. Akhlas. There's a lot of Greek or English words.
Can't think of any right off hand. The place is what? To the place. Topos. Topography. So on. Topos. The time. Chronos. Chronos. A lot of those. Chronology and so on. And the friend?
Philos.
Lots of words in that too. Philology. So. All right. Now let's go through the declension of Logos, but just Logos without the ha there. And I don't know if we really had time to go into the nominative, genitive, appetitive, vocative, instrumental, dative, the meanings, accusative, and vocative.
No.
So we'll sort of brief that also again tonight. Now, also, I don't know that we... see, I'm just trying to think. All right. We'll try... Now, all of these nouns could be conjugated, or rather declined. You conjugate verb declined nouns and adjective. They could all be... declined similarly. Artos, this would be the same way, or Thronos, or Cosmos, Lithos, Logos, Nomos, Ophlos, Topos, Chronos, Philos. All these are identical endings. Just put the root, the main root, and put these endings, you got it. Nominative is used as a subject. A word, like a word is in our tongue. What would that be? A word is in our tongue. Logos. And if you say the words are in our tongue, it'd be what?
Logoi.
All right, Logoi. Logos and logos, singular pronoun. Now, genitive and appetitive. Now, this, in the five-case system, is locked into what they call the genitive, and that's the origin or source or descriptive terminology. The genitive is a description of a word. The appetitive is source, from, always with the from. The ek goes to the appetitive, usually. But the genitive is sort of like a definitive, it's a definition, like an adjectival sense. For instance, the Hebrew words don't have adjectives, do they? Remember, they say of a so-and-so. They say with the construct case, do they not? Give me some examples here. Let me see. I'm trying to think of Adam. What is a noun there that would be like an adjective? Of goodness. Well, tzaddik is righteous, and you don't say the righteous man, you say... the ish, you don't say ha ish, but say ish, sadiq or ha sadiq, right? A man of righteousness. They don't say the righteous man, there's no adjective, so the man of righteousness. Well, see, that's the genitive. It describes the same way in the Greek here, see. If you have this same phenomenon, which you don't, you do have adjectives in the Greek, you'd say the man of righteousness, and righteousness is dikaya sune, and so it would be the ha aner, the man. Dikaisune and the Dikaisunes in this case, which is his first declension, but we don't have come to that yet. But the man of righteousness, that's the genitive is a descriptive, see? So of a word, if you use the word of for now, that'll be all right for genitive. But the genius of it is an adjectival description. All right, so of a word or of words would be what? A man of my word, of a word, logu. And the man of words, a few words or many words?
Logon.
Logon, right? Logon, actually. Logon. And the appetite.
What would a sentence be in that?
Well, I'm a man of words. He is a man of many words. See, the man of many words would be logon. See, he's a many worded man. See, a man of many words is an adjectival way, so it'd be the genitive. See, man of many words. A man of few words would be an adjective few.
But a paragraph is made of words.
Yes, it's very good. A made out of words. That's right. Made of words. Made. Well, that would almost be from words, which is the ablative. Mm-hmm. That's the only trouble. See, this of words is not as good a description of a genitive. For now, let's keep the of for genitive and from for ablative. But the ablative is definitely source. Ablatus. Latus from to carry in Latin and ab away. To carry from something else. So it's taken right over from something. Genitive. Is source. No, genitive is, I don't know what it is. In Latin means, you know, genesis is to begin and so on. But just say of a word, but it's just, a lot of the genius of genitive would be the descriptive, like an adjective. But it would say of a word, but you see, from a word as to source. Now, for instance, if you got your meaning from a word, or from the word, then it would be source, ablative, see. It would be what? Again, logu and plural from words, you got your meaning of the sentence from the words in it. Logon. Logon. Okay, logon. So the Logos of instrumental dative is all lopped up into the dative of the 5K system. They just call this the dative. Now, datus, of course, to give. Didymi is the word to give in Greek. In Latin, data is that which is given, you know, datum and data. Dative is to give it. So the dative is the indirect object case. You give the book. That's direct accusative. There's your accusative. I gave the book to him. You see, that's your dative. That's your indirect object. And so it's to the man, or to a word, or four words. It's to. That's the dative is the indirect object. But you have, in addition to the to the word or for the word, again, this is meaning, this is just simply translating words, to the word or for the word, but it's the idea of giving something for the to, I guess you could give meaning to a word or meaning for a word, but it's sort of meaningless. I think the dative is best understood by an indirect object situation where he gave to the word a meaning. See, that's good. He gave to the word a meaning. A meaning, gave a meaning is a direct object, accusative case. See, that's your accusative, direct object. He gave the word, logon, a meaning rather, whatever that would be in Greek, I don't know it offhand. To the word, see, there would be logo, to the word. See, he gave a meaning. In that sense, it's all right to have to the word or for the word. The locative, of course, location, where is it located, where is the it's a spatial meaning, not special, as they say in New Jersey, spatial and special, according to, but a spatial, S-P-A-T-I-A-L, having to do with time and space, having to do with space, rather. So he stumbled at the word, see, or in the word, as he pronounced it, in other words, the location. Let's see, location for a word, in the word or at the word, I guess you could say... the meaning is in the word. See, that's the location. Where's the meaning? In the word, logo. That's the location, locative. Get it? Right in the word. The meaning is in the word. That's a good way of understanding locative in the sense of in the word, logo. Or the meaning is in the words. Or at the words. Located right at the site of the word. See, in the location of the word. That's locative. Location. And then the instrumental is what? By what instrument was it accomplished? By what means? The instrumental of means, you call it. So, he was persuaded to drop his gun with a word, by means of the word. That's instrumental. Or with my words, by means of my words. So that's instrumental. So there's your three locative, instrumental, dative. We call those the lid cases because L-I-D stands for lid. And you can put ditto marks if you wish. Just label them locative, instrumental, dative and put ditto marks if you wish. But for tonight at least, I'd like you to give the meaning of the locative, instrumental, dative, genitive, appellative, if you wish to use these right here, fine, nominative, so on, or what it's, how it's used, or something like that. Just nominative is subject of the sentence, genitive is of, appellative is from. If you want to in or at is locative, and with, or by is an instrumental, dative. If you're not prepared for that, I guess we could bypass it, but I didn't assign it that way. Accusative is direct object, logon. And he gave the word to the boy. He gave his word, you want to say, his word, logo, direct object to the verb, gave. He gave his word, or he gave the words to the scribe to put down for him. That'd be logo, logon and logos. Vocative, of course, is addressing the word, or o words, loga and logo. Speaking to the word, you know, as if you can do that, set that thing up. All right, let's go down now, just declining it without giving meaning, starting with logos. Yeah, questions?
Just that ditto, you don't want to interrupt you. Ditto.
You can put ditto after genitive for ablative if you wish, and after locative, you can put a ditto for instrumental data for the form, the same form, all the way down if you wish, as you write the forms. That's all. You put the ditto mark. So all right, let's go down with the... Right down through the first five cases in singular and then five and four, starting with logos. Ready? Logos, logu, logu, logo, 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 logon, loge. Plural? Logoi, logon, logon, logois, 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 logus, logoi. Accent always on the omicron. So, I think there's any trouble now. Let's try it again.
Logos, logu, logu, logo, 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 logon, loge, plural. Logor, logon, logon, logois, 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 logus, logoi. Now notice in the Lachrymous mental dative, you usually have an iota in singular and plural. There's your key in most declensions, first, second, and third. We have a iota there, either an iota subscript under the omega or an ois. There's your data, Lachrymous mental dative.
Hmm? Iota subscript.
All right, any questions further on that one? All right, that's the final one, isn't it? All right, let's take out our paper and put our names and the date at the top, please. This is the 27th of September, and we will take our quiz there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
I still don't understand. How did you want us to format the...
Put your nominative, right. And then on the genitive and appellative, you can put the genitive form, since it's identical form. Genitive and appellative are identical forms.
Okay.
You can put under the alphabet, put exactly. But if you miss the one, you're going to miss them both. You know, understand. Make sure you get that first one right before you put the other one, you know. And then the same with the locative, instrumental, and dative. Put the locative form if you want to put instrumental, dative, and ditto marks, because it's the same form.
Okay.
That's fine.
And we don't have to put down the what it means though, right now.
I guess not, since we're not perhaps up on that. But we should probably know it. If you know it, put it down, try it. We won't count off on it. Mm-hmm. Just see if you can do it. If not, all right. All right, the first thing that you can write down is present indicative active of lego, plus infinitive. That's six forms. The second thing, of course, is the nominative, genitive, ablative, vocative, instrumental, dative, accusative, invocative, singular, plural, the entire declension of logos, and give the meanings you can of those. And then I'll give you the vocabulary, starting when you're ready. All set for vocabulary? All right, the word number one, friend. Word number two, if you want to put the friend, you can, the ha, or you don't have to if you don't wish to. Number two is world, or the world. Number three is crowd. Number four, bread. Number five, place. Number six, throne. Number seven, stone. Number eight, time. Number nine, law. Number 10, word. Any questions on any of those? Okay, right ahead. Let me know when you're ready to correct them. All right, do we have all the papers back? Well, you did well again, everybody. That's good. 100%. You can't beat that. Let's keep it up the rest of the year and everything and be a good year.
It'd be your first. Totally 100% class.
Yeah,
that's right.
All right, let's, I was going to have you write the alphabet a couple of times, but instead of that, let's do a little practice reading. That might keep us on our toes. I've made four times as large the Gospel of John. It goes from here to here, you see. I've enlarged it so that you can, almost like a primer, you pass those around here, I guess it's easier for you to just pass them right around. John 1, 1 through 19 at least. We've got those first few verses, and we'll work on some others later, but I'd like us to get a little practice in pronunciation there. All right, yes, Lou?
Just a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned when you said primer. Why don't any of the people who publish these books make the letters when they're trying to show you how to write them about... Mm-hmm. 8 times larger than size, because none of them ever do, and it's awful hard to try and decipher.
Hard to look at some of those, and they're very tiny, and they're German script. And I guess it's just back when this book was originally printed, they tried to save paper.
I guess so.
You know, our Hebrew grammar was huge; it was very large when the most recent one, but this Greek one is very small. It'd be a good suggestion. I don't know how we get it to the printer, the publisher. If you just enlarge it like we've done here, it'd be great. Yeah. But you'd have to spend more money on paper, I guess. All right, let's go right around the room. Phil, begin reading that first. Take a line. Let's take a line at a time. That's fair enough. If he has any problem pronouncing it, the rest of the class, correct him, would you please? Give him some suggestions. If I hear nothing from anyone, then I may have to step in. But I want you, as a class, to hit the pronunciation, basically.
Anasa.
Anything, class, on that?
R-K-A-N-A-A.
Yeah, but let's hear it again. And what?
N R K.
I see, instead of Hain, it'd be Hain. See, that's a rough, a smooth reading.
It's
the right
smooth
twist. It's very hard to discern. Very hard to turn.
Circumflex accent. That's English.
Well, that is sort of half a moon, see? It is half a moon like this, but inside of it is the smooth breathing, see? It's very hard to discern.
Well,
now, the circumflex of this book is a tilde, isn't it? Something like that? And then it's sort
the
of
wavy
like
circumflex.
See, wavy circumflex, sort of like this. But this one here is the normal circumflex accent like you have in English and other books. John R.K., well, wait a minute. Now, I guess this is a wavy line, too. R.K. is a wavy line, isn't it? Look at that circumflex.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it is a circumflex. Yeah, that's right. It is a circumflex. I made a mistake. No, it's not a regular circumflex. It's just wavy line circumflex and a thing like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a smooth line underneath it, but the printing bled together.
Yeah, it is.
No.
It is.
But we don't do that right.
No.
What is that?
I'm sorry, I was just asking what the circumflex was, and he said it means your voice goes up and down.
Oh, like that, that's right. Supposedly, but in Greek it's all the same, see, but that's what it is normally. A circumflexo is to bend, and circum is in all directions, circuit, like a circle. See. So that's what that is. Now, all right, where were we there? NRK? Ain?
Ha? Lagos?
Be careful that old Omicron.
Log
ah is alpha, almost alpha.
Logos.
That's good. Logos. Think of
Kai.
Ho. Not ho, but
ho.
No ho.
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 Ha.
Ha. As in coffee. Or log, if you pronounce that word that way. Coffee.
Logos.
Aim.
Pros.
That little trill in the row.
Pros. Tom.
Set on.
Kai.
Okay, Kai. Let's say it all together. All class ready with one. N-R-K.
N-R-K.
Hologos. Kai.
Hologos.
N. Cross.
On.
Set on.
Set on.
Kai. Now, tonight we're going to learn for next week the proclitics and the enclitics. The proclitics are those that draw their leaning in advance. Pro, meaning forward. Clitic means to lean. NRK is an example of that. There's no accent on the N, you see. It goes to the next word, NRK. NRK. See, that's the proclitic, leaning toward the next word. The enclitics are the ones that have no accent and they lean back on the preceding word. But NRK is an example of that. And halogos, ha has no accent, because that goes to the following word. That's also proclitic, leaning pro, toward, forward, see, leaning toward the next word. It's an interesting little phenomenon. Yes, but
meaning that
It has no accent at all?
No, but it goes to the next word.
No, in other words, the accent is assumed to be in the word following.
That's right. Anarche, see? And it's just pronounced with the next word, see? Just like halagos is pronounced with the next word, halagos. And we're going to come to words occasionally that have no, that are the following words here, and they have no accent because they go with the word preceding. That's enclinic. They lean on the word preceding it. See, enclitic, and the other is proclitic. Enclitic means to lean, so leaning words with accent and non-accent. Now, anarche, an is the N, of course, arche, in the beginning, or in a beginning. But notice that's in what case? Locative, instrumental, or dative? You know it's one because it's got an iota. This is the first declension, arche. It's not logos, but it's logo. Of the omega iota subscript, so this is log A iota subscript, so it's a locative instrumental dative case. Now, given that it's one of the lid cases, L-I-D cases, which is it? Locative, instrumental, or dative in the context? In the beginning was the word. What's the case?
Locative.
Locative in the beginning as far as location? I suppose in point of time, locative of time, I suppose that's right, in the beginning. Wouldn't be dative. For the beginning, to the beginning, it wouldn't be instrumental by means of the beginning, but it's locative of time.
Mm-hmm.
There's locative of time, there's locative of sphere, there's different types of locative, but this would be the locative location. It pinpoints a certain location in time. The locative, then ein is your imperfect, the verb to be. And we will come upon that a little later on. Halagos, there's the word we learned, it's not halagos, the word. And what's the subject of the sentence?
You're saying that halagos. That first halagos was...
halagos. Mm-hmm.
In what case?
That's a nominative case. That's a subject. That's a sentence. So, but you see, the Greek says in the beginning was the word rather than the word was in the beginning, see? Halagos. And then chi, of course, is and, halagos, the word, ein, again, the word was, imperfect tense. Was continuously, see? Was. Not the aorist tense, was point action, not had been pluperfect, which in the point of time had been in the past and continue on into the present, but continuously was. In the beginning was continuously, in all eternity past. That imperfect alone gives eternality to the Logos, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. No beginning with the Word. Was continuously, and the Word was continuously. Pros, which is near, or toward, or by, or with, ton logon, the God, see, and God meaning definite, we need no definite article, it's not the God, but it's God, but the Greek has an article, chi again is and. Alright, go right ahead then, Lou, read the second line, please. Maybe we're taking too long for you, I don't think so. We'll read a line a night, that'll give us 5 lines a week, and go right ahead, just for reading practice.
Theos.
Not Theos, but...
Theos.
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 Os. Say it, Theos.
Theos.
Say it, class, Theos.
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 Okay, go ahead.
Theos. In. Hologos.
Not Hologos, but...
Hologos.
Not ho, but what? Ha. Ha logos. See, keep your mouth the same. We have a sentence to say ho la gos. You change your mouth, change your vowel. Ha la ga. Ha la ga. See, keep it right in. Ha la gos. Ha la gos. Keep your vowel right on through. Go ahead.
Ho la gos.
Not ho, but ha la gos.
I'm saying ho.
You're saying ho la gos, yeah. Try it again.
Ha.
Ha.
Ha. Ha la gos.
That's better.
Hotos.
Not hotos, but what class?
This
is a rough reading, see. It's a rough reading. See, now I've blown this up 4 times. Well, I've got 122% once, then 122% one where I saw 4 times. It's 244% of what it is in the beginning. Just so we could see it a little better and we could make marks.
We still can't see it.
Still can't see it because it probably wasn't there too clear in the beginning. See? And what isn't there won't be here when you blow it up either. All right, go ahead. So it's, what is it, class, then, if it's a rough breathing?
How class?
Not how, that's an alpha. Hutas. This is
hutas.
See, this is one of our diphthongs. Hutas. All right, hutas.
How did I pronounce it first?
How?
I said rough breathing.
What you said?
Yeah, I said rough breathing. Everybody correct
me. Maybe you said hautas. How instead of who? That's it. How. You thought it was alpha, epsilon. This is omicron, epsilon. This is the ooh. Ooh. Alright? Try it.
Hutas.
Hutas, alright.
Aim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Watch the he.
Okay.
Watch the he. Pronounce that a little bit more German-like.
Okay.
That's the
okay.
Archaic, yes.
Okay. Pros.
Mm-hmm.
Torn. Theon.
Theon. Okay, watch your mouth.
Theon.
Mm-hmm.
Theon.
Mm-hmm.
Panta?
Panta. All right. Panta. Panta. All right, let's Panta. Say it together, class.
Theos.
Aim.
Halogos.
Hutos.
Aim.
And Arche.
Arche.
Pros.
Ton.
Theon. Panta. All right. Guy Theos. Aim. Halogos. And God. Theos was the Word. The Word was God. See? But the emphasis is put by anthos being placed first in the Greek sentence. Therefore, deity is predicated of halagos. And it also is the imperfect aim. He was continuously in the past. Continuous progressive action in the past was God. God never was there any time when he was not God.
So what did you say at the beginning? Because the theos is first?
That's the emphatic point. Yeah. Emphatic place for the Greek word.
That's like the Hebrew?
Yes, I guess they put things first that are more founded, yes.
Now, without getting into a big discussion, why is it that the Jehovah's Witnesses think that is a God as opposed to God?
Because they say it has an article, tantheon, but the answer to that is, when a Greek noun that is a proper noun, such as a name, such as theos, or such as your first name, or my first name, or anybody else's name, when you have a proper noun, you need not have an article to make it definite. It's definite in and of itself.
Well, why would the first one have an article and not the second one?
The first one has an article because they want to identify and specify the particular deity of which he's speaking, meaning God the Father. See,
and then once it's specified, then they leave it out after that?
Yes, it's not necessary. In any case, it's not necessary. Now, when they do have it, for instance, notice in verse 6, para theou, see, there's no article there either. But there's God. See, you don't need to have that.
And they translate that God also.
Notice verse 14, ek theou, see. Ek theou, there's no article there. See, the proper nouns, notice in verse 12, the middle verse, tekna theou. See, in the left margin, tekna theou, children of God, to become the children of God. See, there's no need, ek theou, notice in verse 14. All the way down the line, there's no need for that. Now, they say that it is a God, was a God, but you see, the reason that there's no specified article is that they're not specifying that he was the definite God, but the anarthros, or the non-articular form, represents the essence, the essential meaning of this noun. So he was not just God, but he was in the very essence of deity. See, that's the essential, what they call the anarthros form, without the article. And the arthros form with the article is more specific and specified, like he was, for instance, and the word was with God or near God or by God, proston theon. It isn't by deity, by the essence of God, which is deity, but by God. See, it's by in location there, by God. But here it's the word was God in the very essence of deity. This is another reason why you should get your Dana and Matty manual grammar, intermediate grammar of the Greek New Testament, and check on the meanings under the article, and you see the The article is a particle there. Let's see if we can adjectives, cases, voice. Let's see where that would be. That would probably be under the. Well, let me take a look in the back. It isn't in the table of contents as such. Dan and Maddie. The article is here given the absence of the article. Article 144, section 144, 150. All right, that's where that is then. Section 144, 150. And you'll see the. Use there. Yes, there's a whole section in the article. Reference R 754-796. That's Robertson's large grammars, manual grammar of the Greek New Testament, the light of historical research, which I have in there. I forgot to bring it in again tonight. I was going to do that. Pages 754 to 796. Well, that's a total of 42 pages on the article. That's the exhaustiveness of our Robertson's grammar. There's an R/S, which is Robertson's short grammar. He's got an intermediate grammar like Dan and Maddie, a shorter one, that has page references for there, page 68 to 77. Then M, I think that stands for Moulton's grammar, 81-84. But here, Dan and Maddie takes the article up on pages 135 to... about 153. So 135, 153. He's got 20 some pages of it there. Almost 20, 18. So that's the basic part of it. And with the proper names, frequently the article is used with the name of some person whose entity is made clear with the context. See, sometimes it's the article of previous reference. See, Tauntown, that's another use of the article. And the particular Jesus, Taun Yesun, for instance, the particular Jesus that Paul preached is used, and so on. But this, it's not necessary to have it, that's the point. And the Jehovah's Witnesses are in error in that, as far as, for instance, there's 133 times that Jesus occurs without the article, for which we can find no evident reason. That's 15%. To observe the use of the article with Jesus, the word occurs 909 times in the New Testament. That's the word for Jesus, according to Moulton and Gedon. Opposite is used 359 times without the article. In 175 of these instances, the emphasis is on the messianic significance of the name, which means a deliverer. 41 times the emphasis is upon the name as a designation rather than identification of the person, approximately the force of expression, a man named 10 times. So they go into great detail on that, and Gildersleeve, and they quote. But that's the essence of it. You don't need the article to make it a specific. Now, Webster's statement published back in 1864, here's John 1, 1-3, the very question that you asked there, Steve. Bottom page 139, the use of the articular and anarthrous construction, which would be no article, of theos, is highly instructive. A study of the uses of the term is given in Moulton and Gedon's concordance. Now, that concordance is a entire Greek alphabetization in a Greek context. Englishman's concordance has got Greek alphabetization and an English context. The Moulton and Gedon, which I have in my basement, is solid Greek context. So when you want to see what Greek structures go with what, does the accusative case go with this noun or is it a nominative case, you can see immediately right in your page before you without having to look it up in your Greek New Testament all the time. See? So that's helpful. But Moulton and Gedon's concordance convinces one that without the article, theos signifies divine essence. See? Halagos was theos. God was the word was God. Divine, the essence of deity. While with the article, divine personality is chiefly in view. There's a keen discernment in Webster's statement, published as far back as 1864. Theos, he says, quote, occurs without the article, one, where the deity is contrasted with what is human, or with the universe as distinct from creator, or with the nature and acts of evil spirits. Number two, when it's contrasted with the nature and acts of evil. Two, when the essential attributes of deity are spoken of. That's what the case is here. I think the essential attributes and the word was God, deity, When operations proceeding from God are appropriated to one of the three divine persons, that's another use of it, without the article. 4, when the deity is spoken of as heathens would speak, or a Jew who denied the existence of the Son or of the Holy Spirit, that's without the article. See, they can have some unbelievers just use God or a God or something. That's possible. The article seems to be used, 1, when the deity is spoken of in the Christian point of view, 2, when the first person of the Blessed Trinity is specially designated, like the Father, God the Father, unless its insertion is unnecessary by the addition of Pater, or Pater, which is Father, or some other distinct epithet. So there's a number of reasons, but they claim a God, but they do not need the specific article and still have a definite person. So we could translate it the God, but we don't even use the thee. We don't use a God or the God. We just say God or deity, see, without specifying a definite article or an indefinite article. All right, so that's, did we finish that second one? And did we read that through, all of us?
No.
Huh? Did we all read it?
All of us?
We did.
Yeah,
did we?
Yeah, okay. Well, go ahead, then, Larry. Take third line, please.
No.
We'll go on from there. Notice D does not have an accent, so there's another proclitic. And the second line, ha logos, is proclitic. There's no accent on ha. The ending of N, anarche, N, no accent on N, that's proclitic, leaning forward, pro, and N, clitic means to lean, clino, or incline, inclined plane, to lean. That's about it. Okay, Larry, go right ahead with line 3, please.
What is that?
The D means for dia, which is the preposition through, but that's taken out because there's another vowel that follows it. When another vowel follows dia out too, you don't say dia out too, you say dia out too. See, you leave off the alpha.
So that's an apostrophe.
That's right. That's a, it indicates an elision or an absence of a letter, see. Just like in English sometimes, isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
D out too.
Mm-hmm. D out too.
Agenito.
What's your final omicron?
Agenito.
That's good. Agenito.
Kari. Choris.
Or Chores. Either one. Chores or Choris. All right, go ahead.
Autu. Agenita.
That's good, agenita.
Nde. Hen.
Uh-huh, that's rough breathing. Nde hen.
Ho.
Not ho, but
ha.
That's right, rough breathing.
Gegonen.
All right. Notice the different types of accent also. Notice the chi has got an acute, or rather a grave accent. It's slightly to the left. Agenita has got an acute accent, you see. You got the circumflex on out too, so the different accents. We're going to take a little accent in next week's lesson here. Chores is a grave that is slanted a little bit to the left. Agenita, acute to the right. Ude, a little bit to the left. Hen, to the left. And ha, now that is accent, see, because that's not the article. That's the that which, it's the neuter relative pronoun. That's why it's got an accent on it. And gegonen, of course, is acute. So let me read the third line, and then you read after me, after I read the whole thing. Dia tu, agenita, kai choris, au tu, agenita, udehen, ha gegonen. All right, let's say it together. Dia tu, agenita, kai choris, au tu, agenita, udehen, ha gegonen. Udehen. All right, now, deal to through him, by means of him, you see. Here's the deal with the genitive. Agenita, all things, of course, panta is a subject here at the top of the picture. All things through him, by means of him, agenita, came into being. Word genomai. And this is your agenita, be your aorist tense. And so you see, there's a point in time when the human being, and kai chores, and apart from him, autu is him, chores, without him, apart from him, agenita, came into being, or was ude, not one, and hen is one, ude, not even one thing, see, ha, that which gegonen came into being. And gegonen is your duplication, therefore it's your perfect, see. So that's your translation for line 3. All right, Manny, I think we're on line 4.
In, auto, so a, aim,
good.
Kai, hey, so aim.
Not hey, but just simply hey.
Hey, so aim.
Not so aim, but. Did you say so aim?
So.
Did you say so aim?
So hey.
Oh, so hey, that's right, so hey. Thought you had a noon on the end of it.
Oh.
A new, excuse
me. Okay. So aim. Aim. Talk. Close, tone, anthropon.
What's your accent?
Anthropon.
Right, try your accent again. What's your at? It's not an, but it's on.
On, anthropon.
No, you're accenting the ultimate. Yeah, try accenting the penultimate.
Okay, an.
No, on.
Anthropon.
Cost him a hand. How do you accent that second?
Anthropo.
What?
Anthropo.
Anthropo accent the first one.
Anthropo.
Anthropo. Anthropo. Okay.
Alright,
see that's
good.
And last one
is key.
Anthropo.
Kai.
Okay. Let me read it, then read it together. En auto, zoe, en. Kai he zoe, en tofos, ton anthropo. Kai. So, alright, let's say it together. And
auto
zoe ein kai he zoe ein tofos ton anthropos kai. All right, in him, in auto. Now, what case is that, man?
That would be in the
nominative, accusative, no. Vocative.
It would be in the locative or
instrumental or dative. Okay, in this case, would be what? In him.
In is probably
life
in
was.
Him.
In him, life
so
was.
So it's a locative. It's in a location.
In him. That's a location of him. Locative mm-hmm. place, locative spirit, time. It wouldn't be dated. It wouldn't be to him.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't be instrumental by means of him. Life was. Although that might be instrumental. It's a possibility.
What would that be?
It could be
located.
See, instrument through him was mm-hmm. life. See, not only in him. Well, both are probably true because all things were made by him. All things came into being by him, so it was really through him and in him, both. Mm-hmm. See, so it could be locative and instrumental, see? So this is where you get into the exegetical portions. You see, it could be one or the other or both. Yes?
My question was answered.
Okay. Now, there's another thing. And man, I never have noticed this, these imperfects, until tonight. But that's a powerful reason to have continuously was life. Zoe, life was, ain. You're in the imperfect, just like in the first. In the beginning was the word, but continuously. See, was not just happened once or happened and the results continued, but continuously was. That ain, that imperfect tense, you see. That's why the Lord, I think, used the Greek language to convey the New Testament theology, because it's specific and detailed and analogous.
Yeah.
It's right down the line. Can't miss it. See, Hebrew, it's all fuzzy and just general, just sort of a picture, and you don't know exactly what you're hearing. You pin it down, see. But there continuously was life, see. No, in him was life. There's no ever time that there was no life in him, see. Eternally, the Son of God, eternally deity from the past. And if they would get this in all these old heresies in the Greek early church, so they wouldn't have those heresies. They'd have it straight. Kai Hezoe, and the life was, again, continuous action, tophos, the light, yes?
You just said something there, you know, you can study Roman Catholicism, you can study, you know, Greek Orthodoxism and stuff. Why, when their language is the original language, why, you know, of course, apostasy, right? But they, it would seem to me that in Greece itself, and in, you know, the center of, you know, Greek Orthodoxism, why wouldn't they have access to better, you know, a better understanding of the language?
Well, they got the language, but they just don't have the theology, because they don't have the proper means of interpreting it, I suppose. They don't take the grammatical, historical interpretation, the literal, when the literal sense makes good sense, seek no other sense except the light of the immediate context or some other thing tells you not to. See, they don't have that same type of thing. You see, men love darkness rather than light. They don't come to the light, no matter whether they know the language backwards and forwards. Mm. That doesn't make theology. See, any more than it does if you know the English language backwards and forwards, you can have a bent, a theological twist that warps your whole theology. And so that's what's happened to them. They didn't want to receive the light. They didn't want to receive what it clearly states. But to those of us who can see clearly on Sunday, saying it's a question of why they could be mistaken on it. Just like the question of baptism, how they could be mistaken on that. Of course, the Greek Orthodox are not mistaken. They baptize babies, even, I understand.
Right.
They immerse babies.
They immerse right down to the
infants. That's right, no question. They know what baptism means, and bapto, and there's no question about it.
That's sort of what I mean.
They've got other things in their theology that have built up through tradition. See? Sure. And if you build up tradition, you take tradition out of the Word of God, then if tradition disagrees with the Bible, they take tradition instead of the Bible. So that's probably part of it. He's away, and the life was tephos, the light tone of men, see, the light of men. Now that tone, anthropon, of men is the genitive plural, and tephos, ta, is your neuter article, the light, because phos, you see, is going to be a neuter. So instead of ha-phos, it's tephos. Therefore, you've got to learn these articles to know whether it's neuter or what. Therefore, you know what sort of a ending it's going to take and so on. All right, we're down to... Steve, would you take that next line, please, Steve?
Ta, phos, ain, or n, te, sko,
not sko, but
ska, skotia. Fine.
Not fine, but how come on?
Oh, fine.
Kai. Now, let me give you an example there. If you take that thing that the Germans use, and as some Greek teachers teach it, that epsilon iota is I, like ice, epsilon iota sigma, and alpha iota is I, you're going to have finite, which is ridiculous. That means there's no distinction in sound. That's why it's much better, I feel, to take I, the other is A. I, A. See? Fine, fine. There's an example of why the German ice for epsilon iota is not right. And it should be the A, and so fine, fine. I'll go ahead. That way, when you read a Greek word, you know exactly how it's spelled. See? It's everything is distinct. I'll go ahead.
Fine, chi, he. Scotia.
And you see, Scotia is long iota because this fits there, right? And you don't say Scotia because it's accent, see?
Right.
And Scotia is very, very powerful, very powerful. Probably the correct long I. I'll go ahead.
Alta. Al.
Not al, but al would be alpha. Keeps on.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Catella thing. Ben?
Not Bane, but Ben.
Ben.
Right. Now get the accent better, Steve.
Catella Ben.
Good, Catella Ben. All right, let me say it, and then we'll all say it together. Tophos en descotia fine. Cae hescotia auto u Catella Ben. All right, let's say it together. Tophos en descotia fine. Cae hescotia auto u Catella. All right.
Catella.
The light. See, chi picking up from the fourth line. Chi and the light. in the nominative case, tophos. Now, in this case, tophos could be the nominative or accusative, because in the neuter, the nominative form, tophos, and the accusative form, tophos, are the identical, same form, see. But in this case, you know it's the subject of the sentence, so it would be the nominative case, tophos, the light, and tespatia, in the darkness, phine, shines. Shineth, shines, continues to shine. And enteskotia. Teskotia is what case? See, we've got the logos. This is happens to be a spurs declension noun. But what case would this be in? Nominative? Accusative? Be nominative? What earmark? Teskotia.
You have the
whatever
article,
one of
the article, right? The article is
one of the three. One of the lock of the middle. The article is what?
The article seems is in a nominative.
Nominative te.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like ha. No, I have to be he if it were nominative or ta.
No.
See, ha is masculine article. He is feminine, and ta is neuter in the nominative. See, now that's a good possibility, but. Bill, or rather Bill. Steve, what is your reason for thinking it's one of the three cases?
The iota below the...
The iota, see? The iota below the subscript. Te, see, iota, eta iota, subscript.
Oh. Well, I'm looking at the wrong one. I'm looking at the one after the and.
You're absolutely correct. That is
so that's the one you're talking about.
Oh, you're absolutely correct. Yeah, I was looking at the te scotia. You're looking at the he scotia. Okay. I wonder why, Manny, you had that nominative. You're absolutely correct. The hay is the nominative. It's a feminine. Scotia. That's right in the nominative. That's the subject. But te scotia, locative instrumental dative, which one is it? Locative instrumental dative. Kai tophos, and the light in the darkness.
Locative.
Is shining. Locative. Mm-hmm. Shines in the darkness. Doesn't shine by means of the darkness, does it? So it doesn't shine to the darkness. Has to be locative in the location, in the area of the darkness. And and the darkness of ta, which is a neuter accusative, it, going back to ta pos, see, the light, it, u, which is not, or no, it's your negative, u, katelaben, from katelambano, to hold down or to receive, did not receive, katelaben, this is your accusative, the aorist test, katelaben, did not receive it, and the light, the darkness did not receive it. Not understand it, could not comprehend it, not receive it in any way. All right, so
when it talks about the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the same
word. Yes. Oh yes.
Yet the JWs translate. They'll translate that word sometimes Jehovah
for the Lord.
For the Lord when they want to, when it's convenient.
Yeah. Yes. This Kurios is the Lord. It could be Master. See, for instance, in the Greek New Testament, you find the one who is a servant. He calls him Kurios, his master, see, Kurios. But when Paul, on the road to Damascus, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Kurios, vocative, Kurios, just like loge, see, that's what it is. Kurios, Lord, speaking, oh Lord, what would thou have me to do? That's the Kurios, vocative case. That's deity, see. That's not just master. Now, the modernists say all he was referring to is master, someone that's high up. But the Westcott and Hort heretics, I believe, remove it from their New Testament. That very word, Lord. This New Testament is one I was going to show you before. I don't know whether I mentioned it, but this is the New Testament in Greek, according to the text followed by the Authorized Version. That's the Greek text underlying the King James Version, together with the variations adopted in the Revised Version, edited by Scrivener. Now, Scrivener was a man that held to Burgon's views of text criticism, and they agreed quite often. And the boldface, he puts the entire text in Greek that underlies the King James Version is listed. And then he puts in boldface those portions where the Westcott and Hort heretics change and alter the text based on B and L, the Vatican manuscript, the Sinai manuscript. And if you look in Acts chapter 9, then the exact changes they make are put in the footnotes. So I've made an analysis of all these. This original was given me by a man in the Washington, D.C. area, one of the pastors there, when I had a text and translation seminar down there 2 years ago, I think it was, a year ago. 2 years ago, when was it? I forget when it was, but he gave me that original, and my son Dan made me some copies of this, and so I've looked at it, and I've been studying it and analyzing it. It's interesting, but speaking about the Kurios, let's see if I can find that in Acts chapter 9.
I was looking at it the other day, and bold face, you see right in here about verse 5 and verse 6. He's a bold face, black print, heavy print, hadakurios, apon, and the Lord said, see, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ. That's in bold face. Look down in here, omit verse 37, text, not margin. And so they omit that. Anything down, and also the second footnote here, kurios apan, right here, which is kurios apan, omit, OMC. So you omit kurios, the Lord said. This up here is the Son of God, to be the Son of God. In other words, here is Acts 7, 835, excuse me, 835. The Ethiopian eunuch. See, they take away verse 37, or 35 apparently. Philip said, if you believe, he said, I believe with all my heart. See, and having answered, he said, I believe that the Son of God to be Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that whole thing is taken off by these heretics. Western, there's a lot of verses that are taken out by the Western Lord readings. And this one here, the Lord said, is taken out. See, it's just, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And then this is omitted. This hard, it is hard to kick against the pricks. And trembling, he fell down and said, Kudia, Lord. There's your vocative case. Bold face, the West Down North takes it right out of there. See, this text, I'm convinced, has been touched by heretics, this West Down North type text, for the things that they omit, the types of things they omit. Kudia, Lord, what will you have me to do? See, what do you want? And Hokurios said to him, see, and the Lord said. See, many times in these omissions, they're names of God, Christ, Christos, of Jesus, Jesus, or Lord Kudia, or God Theos, any of these names of deity. Now, I studied this thing out, and I've completed the study. It's an interesting study, looking at these footnotes. Because I'm interested, where is the argument between the two types of text? The argument is right here in this book. The argument is based upon the text up here, which underlies the King James Version, and the bold black face, which the Westcott and Hart people removed, based on their so-called old manuscripts of Vatican and Sinai, being out, and the footnotes they put down in here. So I was concerned, well, how many footnotes are there? How many times do they alter the text? I counted up, if my figures are correct, 5,604. Mm-hmm. There are 5,604 changes. A footnote changes. But some of these footnote changes involve one word, some involve three, five, six, eight words, 10 words. So I went back over the changes, and I counted the total number of words that are involved in these 5,604 spots and places in the New Testament. And it comes up close to 10,000 words that are involved. Now, people say, oh, the textual battle is not important. Minor moments. Well,
is there, though, a normal amount of variance that should be defined between any two texts that you compare? Don't you find?
Yeah, it's spellings and things like
5%
that.
5% variance
yeah.
or so?
Yeah, you'll have some spelling differences.
The,
right?
The real question is, how important are, the, are these omissions?
Well, that's true. First of all, getting mass, and then you get down to quality after you get the quantity, see. But 9,970 words altogether, 647 pages, that's an average of 15 words per page is what we're amounting to, see. But the omissions, the changes, so that's upwards of 10,000 words. Now, that's quite a few changes. 9,970 is just about 10,000. I probably made some mistakes. I could add a few, probably may have left a few out. But it's interesting that of those total 5,604 places, there are total of 34 whole verses, either one or two verses that are omitted. See, the omission of verses is the style of B&L, of the Greek of the Westcott and Hart tradition. And the divine names of the omissions there. By the way, I checked the omissions versus the additions. I have a total of 1,952 omissions. You know, down here where they put OM for omit. Say, take out, take out, take out. This is basically omission type text. 1,952 omissions. And there are 467 additions. They say add. See. So it's basically it's an omission. If you get the omissions versus the additions, that's total 2,419. The omissions, 1,952, is 81%. the additions is 467 is 19%. See, that's the now if they add 1952 times and they omit, or excuse me, add 467 times, they omit 1952 times. What do you call the other things? Well, I suppose you'd call them alterations of some sort, either changes here and changes there, but neither additions or subtractions, but just modifications of some way. There are 3,185 of those. So of the 5,604 total changes, 57%, roughly, or rounding it off, would be alterations of one kind. 35% would be omissions, and 8% would be additions. So then I counted of the omissions the names of God, either Christ or Lord or Jesus, and I got 146 of them. 146 times when they omitted. So I'm kind of curious. Now, some of these are more important than others as far as omissions of deed. I think in Acts chapter 9 is a very different theology you get into. Lord, what the hell am I to do? They're just out of the Bible, see. And if you fellows preach from the New International Version that omits these verses, by and large, they omit these names of Christ, they omit these different situations. You're going to have a different preaching, a different theology, and a whole different Christianity than if you use the King James Version on which the text is based, on the text of Receptus as you have it. For instance, here you've got this New International Version. Here you got the Oxford New International Version of Schofield Study Bible, which now has finally arrived. Remember, I told you they were coming out with it. And I looked in this thing. Of course, it's got a lot of... It's the same as the NIV text, but of course the footnotes are the new Schofield notes, but they change it where they change different texts, like in the Old Testament where they follow the Septuagint or the Vulgate and so on. They add a note in there explaining about things. But let me give you an example, for instance, of a change here. Well, just take Philippians 4:13. What is it? They memorize it? The new crop of Christians coming up with NIV memorizing that, you know what they're not going to agree with you. Huh?
I can do all things through Christ.
I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Mm-hmm. Now they take Christos right out of there, see, because what Scott Moore takes it out of there. Because it's in bold face in this Bible.
What is
it?
I do all things through what?
Through the one that strengthens me. Yeah, I want could be the force. Let the force be with you. That could be people. That could be
light.
That could be anybody. See? I mean, and this is what this NIV Bible translates. I can do all things through the one strengthens me. And I'm ready to scream about it. See?
The
I mean,
one,
that,
which or the one strengthens?
The one who strengthens me. You know, so
is that thing you say, or is it him? Is that the point in him?
Well, in him who strengthens me, or one who strengthens me, whatever. Let me see. I get it exactly. I don't want to misquote them, but that's in Philippians, yes, 4:13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Through that, I misquoted. That's NIV. That's NIV, sure.
Yeah,
that's, yeah. See? Either we got Christ to strengthen us or we don't. See? These are the little innuendo things. Right. These are some important verses. Take a look at 1 John, for instance, chapter 4. Now, here is the very essence of what is the Antichrist. 1 John chapter 4, see, page 602. I got them number there, page 63. This is the very essence of what an Antichrist is.
Yeah.
Page 1 John, let's see.
Doctor, before we go on,
yeah,
on that one, getting back to 4:13,
mm-hmm.
When do they capitalize?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what they capitalize at.
In other words, I can do everything through him, lowercase h, who gives me strength.
Well, is that right?
They may not.
That's what I'm saying. I
don't think they capitalize deity or anything, yeah. So I don't think they, one way or another, see. First John 4, this is the Antichrist. We read that, Manny, the one that talks about who is he that denieth.
Yeah.
Go ahead. First John 4, is it?
Yeah.
Verse what?
Yeah, let's see. You can get that in 3. And every spirit that confesses not Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, wherever you have heard.
And what is that for? What?
That's 4:3.
4:3.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some other place for
that? I think there's another place in there. I can't. But it's
3.
Yeah,
is it
3? Well, that one speaks of the Antichrist.
Oh, look at the Revelation 1:10. Remember, that's on the emblem of 1:9, 1:10. That's a lot of people's motto, isn't it? For the word of God, go ahead, and the what?
1:9.
I was in the
the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God.
And the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus
and
Christ.
And for the testimony of Jesus Christ. They take off Christos and that's the testimony of Jesus. You see, these heretics in the early church did not believe that Jesus was the Christ, was the anointed one. He was just a human Jesus without being the Messiah, the Messiah, you see. And so they take that out. So here you got all these people for the Word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ, these great big emblems. Now we have that Cedarville College, for instance, which is GRB approved school in Cedarville, Ohio, has got that as a motto, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. But you can't have Christ if you've got the enemy. See, there's certain things we're going to have to rethink and redo. Let me see that John, 1 John, that would be 597, I think it is. I've got the wrong page here. I didn't mean to take this up here. 513. Read 513. Maybe that's it. No, it's not 513. No, it must be the...
Let's see what he's got on... Yeah, this, you see.
Is it three?
Well, they put in there, this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you've heard is coming out of the world.
Every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is the Christ, is that what he means?
I'm thinking of 4 and verse 3.
Yeah.
Read that. Go ahead, read that.
And every spirit that confesseth not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is not of God. And let's see, they say...
They take out Christos and Sarki.
Right, yeah, they take
Christ
out. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God.
Now, get the difference.
Yeah.
Just acknowledging Jesus. See, the heretics, yeah, they don't even believe Jesus Christ has come
important.
In the flesh, the incarnate.
Christ is important.
See, they think, oh, they're all right. See, but this condemns all those type of heretics. So this has been removed, bold-faced, what's got hurt.
They're condemned by their own translation, it's funny.
Yes, they are. That's right. Interesting. There's a number of serious things.
Are there any instances where they leave it in?
This thing here? As far as the
in
Christ
significant
the
places where they'll, with like that,
Christ
for example, the where they will have the Christos in there.
Well,
or is it consistently through the, you know?
I know they take it out in 1 Timothy 3:16. See, the greatest mystery of God is the Hos.
Right.
God is manifest in the flesh. They take it out. They put Hos. He who is manifest in the flesh. See, they take out God. They don't like the God manifest in the flesh. I don't know. There may be some places. I haven't to follow that through, Phil.
Well, there are places in here where they do keep it in here.
Oh, there are a number of things where Christos is there. Oh, yes, right. And Jesus Christ is there. But the thing of it is, the heretics many times don't have the entire New Testament. They have what they have in their hands, and they will doctor that up. You know, but other people may have something else. And so they don't always have a full Bible to consistently take it out throughout, and then they can't control what other people... They got what they do. So it's interesting. Now, there's a number of other instances that they have Jesus Christ, but they don't remove it from the Bible. But you have a different Bible. It's what you have. How did we get on that subject? Let me just see. We're talking about Angelos Kurios. We're talking about Kurios. What was it? Go back to that vocabulary word.
We can go a long way on one word.
Yes, I'm afraid so. Yeah. We had that other thing there. Let me put that back in there. So... that Kurios, Lord, what will they help me to do? So Kurios is Lord. All right, now, also for next time, take the paragraph 32, nouns of odeclension, whose noun is os, generally masculine in gender. We've already found that out. Rarely feminine. So the article is hot. So here we're going to learn the article plus the endings. Now, you don't have to learn any more endings. Same as logos. Let's say it together. Now I'm going to write down through. Ha anthropos. Again, ha anthropos. To anthropou.
To anthropu.
Now the locative, to anthropo.
To anthropo.
Again, to anthropo. Again, to anthropo. Locative instrumental dative. And the accusative, ton anthropon. Ton anthropon. Yes, Blue?
Oh, I'm sorry.
He sent over the ones that are duplicated.
Okay.
Oh, I just repeated it three times. I sort of, we've more or less taken those all together.
Right. Okay.
And then, ton anthropon, and then, anthrope.
Anthrope.
If you want to put the vocative article, it's o anthrope, which is an omega with a smooth breathing and a circumflex accent. O anthrope. That's the vocative article. They leave it out here, but it is in many Greek texts. O anthrope. All right, then the plural, the men. All right, let's go down those. Hoi anthropoi.
Hoi anthropoi.
Ton anthropon.
Ton anthropon.
Ton anthropon.
Ton anthropon.
Tois anthropois.
Tois anthropois.
Tois anthropois.
Tois anthropois.
Tois anthropois.
Tous anthropos.
And then anthropoi.
Anthropoi.
All right, then you have the observations, paragraph 33, with the declension of anthropos.
So this is this will be due then next week?
Next week, that's right. That'll be next week also. And notice the observations, the acute accent stands, the antiphonal, the nominative case, the ending of the pos is short. If you want to notice that, that's the acute accent, anthropos, the antiphonal. Well, there's os in the ending, of the final syllable is short. When the ultimate becomes long, as in the endings of u and o and on and ois and us, accent moves with p-note, so you can see that anthropois, anthropon, so on. Final oi, though a diphthong, is considered short in determining the place of the accent. If you can learn those fine, if you don't, well, that's background.
What is this thing actually called then?
This stem, this is a declension. That declension. Was declension, D-E-C-L-E-N, declension, as it says in paragraph 32 at the beginning, first word, declension. The verbs are conjugations, and the nouns, when you put them in different cases, these eight cases, you have them at declension. Mm-hmm. All right, so, yes, Luke.
Okay, just one second. Uh-huh. Your definite article, I guess it would, on the vocative plural. Identical?
Hoi. Yeah, actually, the same as the nominative, be hoi. Hoi anthropoi. Anthropoi.
Oh, okay. Same as
if you put hoi, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They don't list that here. I don't know why, but that is in the books is what it is. You don't have to know. If either one of those, you can omit for your exam for next time your quiz.
What's that?
The vocative articles, but know the other articles. Yeah. Uh-huh. I just threw that in for extra added information. Hoi anthropoi is what it is. Notice paragraph 34, the acute accent may stand on the ultima, penult, or antepenult. Well, that's fine, that's great. You can use know it or not know it. Notice the accent for the ton anthropon, accusative, singular. See it? The grave, ton anthropon. It's a grave, as we'll see, because it's not accented. Ton anthropon. See, it's in front of another accented syllable. Mm-hmm. It's same with tous anthropus. So in that case, it's because the vowel starts it, see. Well, it's got another word after it. I guess any time you have another word after it, if it's an acute accent, tous, it's got to change to a grave accent. See, it's got to go backward because another word is it. You'll find that out. We don't have to labor that. I guess 34, you can take it or leave it. 34.1.
When we do those, do we have to put the grave. Is the accent enough? Just any kind of accent?
We don't have to memorize accents, but if you want to try it, go ahead and try it. You'll remember that the grave accent, if it's acute, it'll become grave if another word follows it in Greek. See, if you take your Gospel of John chapter 1, and you follow along, you see logos is acute. You see that first line? Logos, acute. Mm-hmm. Chi is a grave that goes backwards. Why? Because another word follows. Chi ha. See? If it's the last syllable of the word, it must be a grave accent. It must go back if another word follows. Another word follows. Any other word. Mm-hmm. See, logos is all right. Because it's in the middle of the word. Pros, however, is the last syllable. It's on the ultima. And another word follows it. Therefore, and it's accented, so it's got to be a grave. See, ton, see that grave? It's got to go
grave,
back.
The on
is all right because there's a comma there, or there's a break there. See, the on. And chi goes out. Now, why the theon, the on? That's a good question, but it's just, I guess you can have it because maybe it's the accusative, I don't know. Maybe it's the comma, maybe it's a break. But the chi, there again you go with a grave. The theos has got to be a grave. Now you see, theon is acute, maybe because of the comma there's a pause. See, but ain, halogos, and hutos is our ain, and arche is all right. Circumflex pros again is the grave. See, ton theon panta is all right because that's got two syllables. It's not on the penile. So you get these acutes and graves, they switch back and forth depending on what's following. But, let's see, we were on 34.1, page 32 at the top. The acute accent cannot stand on the antiphonal when the ultima is long. We may stand on the penult. Again, this is optional. The acute accent on the final syllable is changed to grave when another word immediately follows without any intervening mark of punctuation. That's exactly what we're talking about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Note first paragraph 35. Again, 34 is background, 32 is back, 33 is background, so on. 31 is background. But no 30 and 32, those are foreground. Now, 35, paragraph 35, note the article in the nominative case has no accent. Ha, see. We pointed that out before as we read the Gospel of John. It is pronounced with the following word. Now, as I mentioned, that's called a proclitic. Proclitic. P-R-O-C-L-I-T-I-C. Pro means following, I guess, in this case, proclitic. And that accent goes with the following word, halogos. See, halogos. So, ha does not have an accent of itself. It's just a proclitic. It leans this way. It leans forward. Proclitic. Now, proclitics, if you want to reference this particular place right here, I would reference it with page 44. On page 44, we take up proclitics. We turn to that quickly and briefly. At the top, 3/10 of the way down the page, some prepositions do not have an accent. Words which do not have an accent are called proclitics and are to be pronounced with the following words. You see? Proclitics with the following words. So halogos is a proclitic. It's with the following words. It leans
paragraph
forward.
Paragraph 44.
No, page 44. At page 44, about 3/10 of the way down the page. See it there? Some preposition, not an accent. They call proclitics. I'd circle it. I'd reference and go back to page 32 or paragraph 35. And then I told you the enclitics are the ones that lean not forward, but lean backward and are pronounced with the words that are preceding it. Enclitic, E-N-C-L-I-T-I-C-S. If you want to put that in just page 52, it'd probably be good to put enclitics, E-N-clitics, and clinal means to lean, and enclitic is to lean on the ones that are, proclitics leans with the word following it, enclitic leans on the word preceding it. It leans on or backwards toward them, you see, that are preceding. If you want to put the paragraph in there, I would say page 63. That's what I've got in my text. On page 63, we take the enclitics. See, these are unaccented words. On exactly middle of the page, paragraph 138. Notice it says enclitics are words attaching themselves so closely to the preceding word to be pronounced with it. Usually they have no accents of their own. The word before an enclitic is treated as follows. If the preceding so-and-so. Now notice these enclitics. Hodidaskolos mu. See, my teacher. Now, here's an example in that phrase, hodidaskolos mu, of a proclitic and an enclitic in the same expression. Where's your proclitic? In hodidaskolos mu. Ha. Has no accent of its own. Pro, it leans forward toward the next word. Hodidaskolos. Where's your enclitic? Mu. Has no accent of its own, but it leans backward. In fact, didaskolos has two accents to take care of the mu. Very unusual. But with the enclitic, sometimes you have two accents on the word preceding it, so it makes good sense. Hadidaskolosmo. Hadidaskolosmo. See? Just like that's one word, hadidaskolosmo. That's your proclitic and enclitic, and these are the sort of a leaning word. Yeah. Lou?
Mu?
Pardon me?
Pronunciation on
Lou,
that?
Yeah.
Mu?
Oh, mu. Mu. No. You just move.
Just move?
Yeah.
Without the.
Mi would be like that. See, mu, yeah.
So it's just M.
Just move.
And that's an M like in English.
Oh, yeah, move. I'm sure.
Just a
move. Move, like a move. All right, getting back to no further questions to page 32. 35 is just simply third circumflex accent written over the genitive, appellative, locative, so on, syllable, the grave accent, in the case of article, rough breathing over the nominative case of the article. In other words, this is background. I don't care if you learn it or not learn it. It's interesting if you're interested in it, put it that way. Learn it if you wish. I wouldn't discourage anyone who wishes to learn it, but as I say, it's background on spelling. Now, paragraph 36, the definite article, ha. The is an adjective, and like all adjectives in Greek, is declined. It agrees in gender, number, and case with the word it modifies. It's important to know that. I suppose that's all right to know, because that's exactly what we have to, it must agree. And that's where, when you have a noun that has a very strange ending, it's declined, or conjugated rather, declined, I was right in the first place, with a very strange ending.
For instance, like some third declension nouns are. You can't tell what case it's in. Is it nominative? Is it genitive? Is it locative instrumental dative? Is it accusative? What is it? If an article goes with it, and you know what the article is, because articles are simple. Once you know them, you know them. There's no change in the article. You know exactly what case that noun is in, or the adjective is in by the article. So it's important to note that the article is identical in case, in gender, and in number with the word it modifies. Now, sometimes you have a feminine article, just as feminine as you please, fully, and all that goes with the femininity, but you have a noun that looks for all intents and purposes like a masculine noun, see? But as long as you've got that feminine article to go with it, you know that noun is feminine also, though it looks like a masculine noun. And the same is true, sometimes you have a masculine article and you've got a feminine noun. See, there's occasionally some exceptions to these articles, but you look for the article, and whatever that article is, that's the gender of that noun. It's important to know the gender, because if you don't know the gender of the noun, you aren't going to be able to know what the references are when you have, as you had here in 1 John 1, the reference, for instance, you had autoth in the fifth or sixth line. Heis quatia autoth, it, itself, u katelaban. Well, the autoth goes back to tophos, because toth is a neuter noun, tophos. Autoth is a neuter ending. It's not autos or auton, but it's autoth, which is neuter. So it's a neuter, goes back to, so the gender is very important. So you got to know what case and what gender these nouns are. Gender is important in 2 Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for instance. Before by grace you say it through faith. And that, tuta, which is neuter, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. But it's important to know that grace is feminine. Hey, charis. Hey, that's feminine. Charis. It's important to know that faith is feminine. Hey, pistis, feminine. It's important to note that the word tuta and this is neuter. It's not feminine. See, for by grace you save through faith, and that not of yourself. Well, it's not the grace that you're not of yourself. It's not the faith that's not of yourself, because tuta is neuter. So you see, it's important in exegesis to know what nouns are as far as their gender is concerned. So the article helps us in gender.
So that refers back to the grace then.
Well, not to the grace, because grace would be feminine.
The salvation.
It goes for the salvation, which is the noun, the verb form. Or excuse me, the verb form. You see, I wrote a paper on that. That's what my master theology was, in the exegesis of Ephesians 2, 8 to 2, 1 to 10, actually, in the Greek text. And it's my contention, from all the evidence that we can find in that Greek structure, that that refers to the whole idea of the Greek participle, sesos menoi, which is a perfect participle, versus passive participle, from sozo, to save.
Are saved.
For by grace are you saved, through faith. And tuta, this not of yourself. Now, it makes logical sense. It's this salvation is not of yourselves. This salvation is the gift of God. This salvation is not of works. This salvation, lest any man should boast. See, it's the salvation. That makes perfect sense. But to say this faith is not of yourselves, this faith is a gift of God. This faith is not of works. Well, faith not of works, you know, that doesn't make sense. Faith in work, obviously it's not of works. And grace the same, see. But a lot of the hyper-dispensationalists, the five-point Calvinists, use the tuta referring back to faith or the grace. They say, see, your faith isn't in a lot of preachers that are just preaching the English Bible. They think that goes back to the faith. And they say, see, your only faith isn't even your own. See, it's given as a gift of God. Not of yourselves, and so on and so forth. But it's salvation that is the thing. I think it's the whole idea.
That's what it's meant. Efficacious calling or whatever that's called.
Yes.
The irresistible grace.
And that's where they get in the five-point hyper-Calvinists get into the idea of T for total depravity, U for unconditional election, L for limited atonement, I for irresistible grace, P for preservation of the saints, and the T, the total depravity, they define, not as I would define it. I believe in total depravity if defined correctly. That man is utterly unable to save himself by any works or deeds of his own. He's utterly without hope, but he must simply trust in Christ by faith alone. But the total depravity is defined by the hyper-Calvinists. Hyper-Calvinists say they cannot even believe, see, can't even have any faith. And therefore, there's no hope for them. Therefore, when Paul preached to the Philippian jailer, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, it was
foolish and stupid as far as they're concerned, because it's obvious he can't believe. Why are they telling him to believe? See, I mean, doesn't he know that God's got to make him believe? See, well, if God makes him believe, why doesn't he make somebody else believe? See, and if God doesn't make everybody believe, then God is responsible for sending them to hell. See, there's all kinds of ramifications. Therefore, it's God that is electing men to hell, and you've got double predestination. See, you've got a real problem with Scripture. So that's the articles tell you what gender the nouns are. Very important. And of course, your exercises at page paragraph 37 will be assigned also next week. So let's recapitulate. Yes, go ahead.
I just want to go back on that last issue. How about 1 Corinthians 13, I think it's about 11, about the perfect.
That which is perfect is come. Yeah, talk.
Teleon.
See, the neuter. See. Again, the neuter. And again, it's not that which is perfect is come. Not the rapture, it's not the heaven, it could be the canon, the top biblion. Yes, it could be the book, the Bible. It could be the whole picture there, but it's not these other things. That's an important argument also on the neuter case, or gender, excuse me, neuter gender instead of some other gender, what it couldn't refer to, see. And that's a lot of that is built up on these textbooks on charismatic movement, why they're wrong on tongues. Why they're wrong on healing, why they're wrong on these various gifts. That's an important point. That's the neuter gender. Very important. All right, anything else? Now let's go to our exercise, if nothing else. But next week, let's recapitulate paragraph 30, the vocabulary. Paragraph 32, the article plus the noun, both of them together. And then, of course, you have your...
You skipped 29.
29, I'm sorry, again. 29 should be exercises. And then, of course, you have two sections, and also 37. Greek and English. Any questions on that?
Where's the sex?
Not a question. It's just prayer.
Just prayer, okay.
So, what? One, two, three, four things.
And four things, yeah. 29 and 37 30. Are the exercises, and the 30 and 32 are the memorization of vocabulary and declension.
29, 32.
All right, declension without dissension. Let's see if we can work that out. All right, let's go on to the exercise then. If you exchange your papers, please, and put your name at the bottom, graded by. We'll take a look at these very quickly. We have allowed 16 minutes at the end of our class for that. Perhaps we should have taken those up first, and then we'd had reading from the Greek New Testament and other things to fill in whatever we needed.
Okay. Don't put it over here.
They're short.
Brother, to me, I mean...
You got more grace. You offer more grace.
Luos Stubo.
All right.
Oh, yeah, well, it's all right.
All right, are we ready to go? Let's see. We have...
Why don't you do mine?
Paragraph... Number, what, 21, isn't it? All right, what's Vlepe? Translated in English.
He,
she, or it is seeing, correct. What's Akouamen? This is the second, first one in Greek English.
I put his seeing on mine, but could you put the other one?
He sees?
Oh, this one is seeing, so we can...
That's all right, that'd be all right. He is seeing, he sees, he hear it, sees. What's the next Greek word? I should let you fellows read it. No, before that one.
Akouamen.
Akouamen, okay, akouamen. Not akouamen, akouamen, no, akouamen. Akouamen. Get that nice soft.
Akouamen.
All right, what does that mean?
We are hearing.
We are hearing or we hear. Okay, next one, read it. Class?
Genoskete.
What does that mean?
You.
Ye. Ye, plural. Ye, or you.
Ye are knowing.
You are believing?
Ye are believing. No, that would be.
You are knowing.
Estewo. Ye are knowing. Ye are knowing, or you, plural knowing. Now, if you use the word you, make sure you, plural knowing, see, because I will not accept just plain you, because you could be single.
I like the use.
If you use the ye, then you have the ye and the thou, then you know exactly what the form is.
You gotta get into that.
Well, yeah, but the only problem here is that he doesn't use thou.
Oh, I know that. If you use the thou singular, you don't have to say anything else. If you use the you, make sure it's you, s. Are you singular? Are you
because
plural?
It sounds funny. Thou art knowing.
Thou art knowing.
Thou art knowing.
Oh, thou art knowing. Oh, yes. Thou art knowing. Yes. You have to use the form.
You got
to
go all the way.
If you use I'm just saying for ease and simplicity, you just have to speak once. You know exactly. We do have an English form for it. But if you use the word you, I'm not going to be a stickler in the thou and the ye. then you have to say you singular,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to say you plural. Or if you say ye, yeah. then you know what it is. It's plural, yeah. always plural. All right, read the next one. Any question on one?
Oh, and ye know is.
Ye know or ye are knowing. Okay. You are, you plural are knowing. Okay. Yeah. All right, number two. What do we have? And the first word.
Banusi.
Now, Banusi, which means?
Banusi.
Meaning?
They are taking,
they are receiving. Either one. They are taking, they are receiving. What's the next word?
Graphes.
I don't like the ro.
Graphes.
Graphes. All right, what does that mean?
You singular or
thou art writing.
That's why you singular or thou art writing. Good. Mm-hmm. Or thou writest.
Right.
Or you are writing singular.
Thou,
next
wait a minute. Thou writes.
Thou writest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyhow, okay, go ahead. We don't want to learn all English,
right.
but that's you want to say you sing, that's right. What's the next one? What's the next one?
He writes well.
Watch your accent. Watch your accent. Eke. Meaning?
Eke.
Meaning?
Or no, have or
you are? You have?
He, she, or it is having, or he has, or he holds? He has, or he holds? Any questions on Eke? Or what's the next one? What do I like to say?
Estelamen.
Yes. What does that mean?
We are believing.
We are believing. Correct. Or we believe. Any questions on two? All right, three. What do we have for that first one?
Pempain.
What does that mean?
To send
or to be
sending.
To send or to be sending. All right, present. Infinitive. What's the next one?
He, she, it.
No, but pronounce it first.
Heuriske.
All right, well, that means.
Heuriske.
He, she, or it.
Is finding.
Is finding. All right. He, she, or it is finding or finds. Next one?
I get it.
What's your accent?
I get that.
All right, what does that mean?
You plural.
Ye are
going. Plural are leading, or ye are leading. Ye lead.
How about ye go?
Ye go, that's fine. It's one of the word meanings for it, that's good. What's the next one? Pronounce it.
Kenoskusi,
meaning?
They are knowing.
Genosco, they are knowing, or they know. Well, all right, then question number three. All right, four. Watch your accent. You got the right pronunciation, but the wrong accent.
Right.
Now, what you got to do is get the right accent and the wrong accent. You know, get both right. What is it?
Thelomen.
See, but when you say Thelomen.
Thelomen.
See, you almost have a secondary accent on that. You say Thelomen. You almost have to say Thelomen. See, it's accent, you almost have a secondary and a primary accent.
That's because we're saying it so slowly.
I know.
Thelomen.
Okay, it's tough to get those omicrons and omegas distinct.
Mm.
But learn to distinguish the things that differ. Learn to distinguish the things that differ. That's a good phrase. Thelomen. What does it mean?
We are wishing.
We are willing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next. Oh, that's a whole phrase. Pardon me. That's two words.
Okay.
What's the next one word?
Blood pain.
To see.
We are willing to see. We will to see. We wish to see. All right. Mm-hmm. We wish to be seeing, if you wish.
Yeah.
All right. What's the next word? Any question on that? We are wishing to see. Next word?
Yeah.
Echomen. Meaning?
We are having.
We are having or we are holding. Okay. And next word?
Genoskete.
Meaning?
Ye are knowing.
Are you plural or knowing? Or you know, plural? Any questions on four? All right, ready to go to five. What's that say?
Not agusi. Watch your accent.
Agusi.
Agusi.
You may not learn the accent, but I want you to mind the accent and notify as you read it. Okay. Try it again.
Agusi.
Agusi. All right. Agusi. Meaning?
They are leading.
They are leading. Or that's right. They are going, whatever the translation of ago. Next one.
Lambani.
Not lamb, but like the lamb. Take it on the lamb.
Lambani.
Lambani. Okay, lambani. All right, that means what?
He or it is taking.
All right, he or it is taking. Grading your paper, are you, Larry, as you go?
I didn't have one.
Oh, I see. So, oh, I'm sure. Oh, you didn't get your... Okay, be sure you get that one. Next one is what?
Ecclesi.
Yeah, not ecclesi, but
ecclesi.
All right, that means what?
They are holding.
And they are having, they are holding. All right. Any questions
now,
on
five, the first one was agusi? They are going.
They are going. Okay. Right. All right, any other questions on that? All right, translating into the Greek. Number one, we know is what?
Gnoskomen.
And you have it, you know, it's called. What's I see?
Blepo,
I see. What's he finds?
Pempe.
Not pempe, but his word is herisko, so it'd be what? Pempo is I sense.
Heriske.
All right, heriske. All right, any questions on one? Okay. All right, you send. Pempo is the
pempe.
Word. If it doesn't say you singular, pempe. You plural, that's it. What if it's you singular? What would it be?
Pempe.
And you plural would be what?
I didn't
pempe.
Want
that. See, the very fact that it puts you, how are you going to know what you is talking
well,
about?
See, I marked all see, those thou. I turned a you into a thou.
Okay, it's
a
pempe.
Because they use ye in there, and I thought they
all right, maybe it.
You,
maybe
I thought they
meant
you single.
Yeah, maybe they do.
When
all right, maybe that's it. All right, they know is what. Either form is fine
single,
because
right?
It does.
I think so.
Either pempes or pempetes.
They know.
You send or thou.
Put thou in a bracket in the paper. But
they know is what. They know gnoskousi, right? Gnoskousi. All right, ye lead. Now here it says ye. You know that's second plural. Ye lead, and lead is of course from ago, which would be ye lead is what?
Agate.
All right, agate. Agousi would be they lead. See, agate would be ye lead. Okay, we wish to know.
Okay.
We wish or we want.
Telamen.
That's right. Telamen. All right, telamen.
Gnoske.
We wish to know. Gnoske. All right. He hears. Here, of course, is akuo. So he hears.
Akue.
All right. Akue. Any questions on three? All right. Four. They write.
Grafusi.
All right. Grafusi. He has. Has Eche. And you believe, whether it's singular or plural, who knows?
No.
Pistello, which would be what?
Pistelles.
Or if it's plural, pistelete, right? Pistelete. Any questions on that? You have 42 total. Mark your papers accordingly, subtract, and see what you got for 42 possible total.
It's a T.
No, I know that.
OU.
That's
probably here.
It's supposed to be
E. Should be EU.
I
see
why we took off of those.
What are we doing for letters out of place or anything like that?
Like what? Jimmy,
is that the whole thing wrong?
Is it what is that?
I mean, you got to choose. You're going to go into the machine.
Well, mine's out of there. Instead of EU, I put OU.
For the stamp, what is the word? Give me the word there.
It's a piston.
I didn't think
of
it. The spelling of it. Each word is at 1 point. If they misspell a word, since we're not dealing with the Hebrew, which is more common with the Greek, if they misspell a word and it's fairly close in the root of
the
wrong.
Ending is wrong. Yeah.
All right, the ending now. What do you got there for the ending question?
Agis.
Well, that would be the wrong form, wouldn't it? That would be, I guess, take the whole one off. Yeah, I guess the whole one off. Yeah.
Oh, I see, too.
See what I mean? If it's a whole, if it's the ending, that's the critical thing. If they want one, they give another. I mean, that's the wrong answer. So the stem, we'll give a half off on the stem. All right? How many? 42 altogether.
Two of the first one was...
Didn't have time, Larry?
I just didn't write it down.
Oh, you didn't know it was supposed to be written?
Well, I had an inkling, but I...
Oh, okay, all right. Can you do it next time for us? That way we'll catch up on it. Okay, do that. Yeah, go ahead, Lou.
Okay, two things. I think on mine here, what's the first one? I didn't notice that this was a...
These other fellows have got the advantage of having the Hebrew before, and they knew what the rules were, the ropes are.
for the first one.
Maybe I didn't specify in writing, because sometimes you just say do them, and they don't say how to do them. See, so, yeah.
I did we wish and 2C separate on 4.
That's all right.
Because I didn't know if it wasn't common.
Is that all right? That's all right.
Okay. We wish, and I saw 2C.
That's right. There's no problem. That's no problem.
The common there. And the other thing.
Anything else you got?
That was one question. And the other thing, what about accents?
No, don't worry about that. That's right.
Saving
all. Yeah, you can put them in there though. Just to try to get them right. I wouldn't discourage that. But I mean, as far as counting and errors, it's just not to pay with the accent.
How about improper English? No.
Improper English.
Just take it back to the old class. 41 out of 42.
Okay, 41. 97.6, make it 98%. Okay, what else we got? We got a low total here.
Low base.
Low base, yeah.
Low base.
Anyone else?
41 and a half.
Okay, 41.5. 98.8, make it 99%. That's good. Anyone else? Very good. That man in the kitchen is going to tell us it's 9 o'clock pretty soon. Do you have any questions? Mm-hmm. Did you show them to the friends, to the people, and then give them back to the owners? You show them to the owners and give them back to me when you finish, and we'll take them and look them over.
And upgrading the Pope's paper. The
Pope's paper.
That Lou is tough.
We'll change off every 5 weeks again.
I'm not going to let Lou have my paper again.
I just put question marks. I'm not the judge. I judge no man.
No?
Yeah.
Do you have any comments or questions on any of these matters that are before us? Looks like you're doing all right. We'll continue reading a little bit. What we might do is, since we have two exercises, we may do the exercises and assignment for next following week first, and then we'll go ahead with John. But I think it's important that we learn how to pronounce the words, and if we can kind of look at things and see some inductive things and move along, we can get some a feel for the language and how it's put together in the context.
Did you hear that, Lou?
Did you want to see yours?
I noted a verse. John 7:24. Judge not according to the appearance.
That's righteous.
How about
this? Show the Lord where it says you'll be judged in the way that you judge.
Neat. As it immediate unto you, right? That's
okay.
Why I put no marks down. None whatsoever.
For one of you, please close in a word of prayer as we close our class tonight. Lord, we lead you.
Father, you've been good to us, O Lord, and we do thank you, dear God, for seeing us through another week, seeing us through, Lord, another lesson as we continue to build up a knowledge of this language and have an opportunity to spend another year, dear Father, studying the Word. We ask, Lord, that you continue to bless and continue to instill in our hearts and minds the desire to continue to absorb all the knowledge, Lord, that is available to us. We thank you, dear Father, for the seminary here and our professor, dear Father, that we can have an opportunity in the evening over to study. We ask thy blessings upon the remainder of the week and as we would travel and be with each and every one. And we just thank thee for it and praise thy name for all things that are done in each and every one of our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Okay, we're dismissed. Keep up the good work. Amen.